Welcome to TFP, the Theater Folk Podcast, the place to be for drama teachers, drama students, theater educators everywhere. I'm Lindsay Price, resident playwright for Theater Folk. Hello, I hope you're well. Thanks for listening. So this is episode 95, and you can catch the links for this episode in the show notes at theaterfolk.com/episode95. Very convenient, that. So it's a best of today, but don't click away. Don't do it. Stay with me. So we wanted to replay some of these podcasts over the summer because, first, they're a good lesson. And second, if you're looking toward next year and what you're going to do in the classroom, all our replay podcasts are going to be helpful in that regard. This is the summer of resources for you. Yes, you, the drama teacher. So today is a perfect example. And it's going to be all about using audio drama in the classroom. Here is my interview with Jack Ward. I have got a very interesting guest today. His name is Jack Ward. Hello, Jack.
Hi.
So the first thing I want to ask you is, where are you in the world?
I'm in Halifax, Nova Scotia, Canada.
Halifax. I love the East Coast, and I wish that I could go out there. Have you always lived out in the East Coast?
No, I'm actually from Ontario originally. I grew up just north of Guelph, just around Fergus Laura.
Oh, okay. Awesome. How long have you been in Halifax?
Oh, a long time now. I think I figured it to be 13 years.
Awesome. And tell us about your day job.
I am a high school teacher in the Halifax Regional School Board. I teach English, but I am an English drama teacher by training.
Okay. What is the thing that we're going to talk about today?
Oh, the thing that is my juice is audio drama, radio drama. Yeah, bringing back the art form of the spoken word, but mostly in radio dramatic form, not just speaking theater or reading theater. Yes.
And why do you love it?
Oh, it's fantastic. I mean, I grew up, as many people did in teaching, I think, listening to CBC and listening to some of the CBC radio dramas and listening to some old-time radio. My parents bought me records of old-time radio plays like Superman and Buck Rogers and all those kinds of things. And as I went up through university, I started getting more involved in radio and doing doing some shows there, always in the back of my head wanting to create my own radio plays. And with the new technology that's out there, it's so easy to record, to edit, and to put together new shows. In fact, I'm so excited because today, actually, I am releasing the 350th episode of my now 9-year running podcast series called The Sonic Society, where we showcase radio drama from around the world. And the 350th episode will showcase two of my own original shows. So I'm very excited.
Awesome. It seems like you have a history with this. And I have to tell you that my very first car came with only AM radio, and I made many a cross Canada trip listening to CBC, which was lovely, except the news got very monotonous.
Yes.
The hour after hour after hour is the same. But that's neither here nor there. So tell us, what do you think is the best piece of radio drama that you have heard?
Oh, my goodness. That you're really putting me on the spot.
Because I am.
As somebody who is a lover of radio drama, I have over 150 different groups and companies in the last 9 years that have sent me their radio plays. So if I pick one of them, they will kill me.
All right. Well, then let's go. Let's go back.
I can cheat this way. One of my favorites is a professional. Most of these people that have sent me are quote unquote amateur or people that love doing this and that. One of my absolute favorite groups is Colonial Radio Theater out of Boston. And they do radio drama, all sorts of stuff from historical and adventuresome. And one of my most recent favorites is the head of Colonial Radio Theater, Jerry Robbins, who's a phenomenal actor, writer, director, doing his one-man show, Barrymore, on John Barrymore's life. And it was a stage show that Christopher Plummer did. And the writer actually Jerry had done the stage show for many years, and the writer and him are good friends. And he rewrote it as a radio drama, and it's a triumph. It's amazing to listen to that show.
What is it that makes radio drama special? What is about the format?
Oh, I could go on and on and on about it. They've done some studies, which is really quite cool. If you're watching television, for example, they can do a brain scan and very little is going on. as you're watching it because everything's being fed to you. So your brain isn't doing much work. If you're reading a book, you're recreating the words on the page and creating in your head the images. So a lot more is going on. Radio drama, actually, there's more going on in that than even reading. Because what happens is that you're recreating a world only using the actors, sound effects, and music. So a sound effect can absolutely alight somebody's thoughts and imagination that creates, and they have to develop basically the entire soundscape from that. So just for example, if I have two people talking outside and I have some light wind, but then I have the sound of crickets playing in the background, that alone sets, you know, time, place, basic location, time of the year, all those kinds of things just by that simple sort of sound effect of the crickets.
Mm-hmm.
So it's fantastic for those kinds of things. And it's so easy to put together compared to trying to put a movie or a video.
Right. Do you use audio drama in your classroom?
Absolutely. I mean, I use it in a number of different ways. In my English classroom, I actually have a little worksheet that I use, which is, you know, is like an audio drama, almost like a movie review sheet, where I have students actually, you know, circle various things and then pull out from the things that they've listened to specifics on, was the acting believable? Why or why not?
I see. So what you have is you have students listen to a audio drama and then complete a sheet about so that they're sort of analyzing and assessing what they were listening to. Yes.
Absolutely. Yeah. So what I do in my English classroom specifically for that is instead of just playing an audio drama in the classroom, because audio drama is the most intimate of art forms, it really is the closest thing to your own thoughts. The best thing to do is to stick in your headphones or listen in your car or something like that, really simple. So one of my students actually gave me a little hub where I plug it into my laptop and I can have six people listen at the same time. So during the beginning of my period where I might have students do independent reading, I'll have a sign-up sheet in the back for them to be able to sign up to, you know, a pile of different radio dramas that I've got listed that are maybe 6 to 12 minutes long at the most. So that 10 to 15 minute reading period at the very beginning, 5 or 6 students can actually go in and do the listen to the audio drama, you know, respond to the acting, respond to the writing as the story, and respond to the sound effects and music, whether they find it appropriate, what kind of things they found really helped with the story, what hindered with the story, just getting them to identify the different elements which make a good story and what propels it along.
Because it seems that audio drama is so connected to the radio format, which would seem to maybe to today's students to be antiquated, how do your students respond to? Do they key into it because they're listening on an iPod so that they don't make that connection?
Yeah, I'm really happy to say that things are turning around in a very big way when it comes to audio drama. When I first started this 9 years old, I still got a lot of people going, audio drama, didn't that die with radio? First of all, I just watched an Ideas Channel video where they said, yeah, you know what? People are still listening to radio by huge numbers. A lot of people don't realize that, but radio is nowhere near dead. The second thing is people don't have a whole lot of time to sit down and watch long-term movies as much anymore. They're moving around doing stuff. So being able to get into your car and just not listen to the same top 20 music, but actually throw on a 20-minute or 25-minute, 30-minute show and listen to it as you're going in commuting on the bus, doing the dishes at home. So kids are pretty plugged in with the idea of listening to something, especially with the stuff we have now, like my podcast, you can get straight through iTunes for free.
Well, podcasting is the new radio, isn't it? I mean,
absolutely.
It's the same, I think, the same emotional experience, only it's all within your control. Like you can, I love it. And I love being able to listen to interviews that I want to listen to or music that I want to listen to. It's radio within your control, isn't it?
It's like TV on demand for radio.
Yeah. It's totally. For sure.
So, yeah, and so what ends up happening is I've noticed in the last 9 years, like I said, that I've been doing this, more and more kids are going, hey, this is really cool. And I think it's because they've kind of divorced themselves from the idea of listening to stories on radio. They didn't realize that was available. And now with Welcome to Night Vale being like this monstrous hit, people are starting to look even further around for this kind of spoken word, sort of dramatic way of being able to tell stories. It's fun because I'll give like students outside of my English classroom say things like, you know, well, try this as a challenge. And they'll go and listen to it and they'll go, like, I couldn't finish that show, Mr. Ward. It was too scary. And I went, I know. Isn't it more terrifying? Because when you have visuals and actually that, it's actually not as scary because nothing is more terrifying than the things that you imagine in your head.
Oh, 100%. 100%. I find that, I guess that's a little bit refreshing because we have this presumption that teenagers of today, they know everything. That nothing surprises them, I guess. And to hear something as simple as an audio program would create that kind of emotion, I'll quite like that.
It's fantastic. I mean, I just gave them a taste because I had only one scene available of this new show that's coming out for the 350th. And I had a couple of my grade 10s just for fun sit down, listen to it, and ask them what they thought afterwards. And they've bugged me 3 or 4 times since then asking when the rest of the show is because they were really interested and really wanted to get involved. And I mean, I've used audio drama in other ways too that I wouldn't mind talking about.
Oh, absolutely. I was going to get to it. But
yeah.
Let's segue.
Sure.
Okay, so how else do you use audio drama in your classroom?
I partner up with some of the other teachers because I love cross-curricular work. So I've been partnering up with Grant Frost in my high school. He's the head of the drama department, and he will take my scripts. I'll take my grade 11 class, and I'll teach them how to write scripts. By the way, you can do script writing for free. I don't know if you did a whole thing on script writing with Celtics. Celtics is a program that is made out of Canada, which allows you to do script writing from stage, from movies, from animation, from comics, and from audio drama. And I was great.
So does it do the format? Is that what it's specifically that it's used for? Ah, okay.
It's not just the format. I'm lucky that I helped them develop the audio drama side of it. So I got it on the ground floor because I wanted a universal one that worked for Windows and Linux and Apple products that was free, that people could be able to work together and do stuff.
Jack, how do you spell that?
CELTX.com.
CELTX.com. Okay.
And they're great to be able to interview too and talk about some of their success stories with the product. It's been something that we've actually used across the school board too, that Celtics is on all the computers. So the students get a chance. I teach them how to be able to write a script. We take a theme. I get them to work together in groups of 3 or 4. Then they each write a scene for their radio drama that they're doing or audio drama. Usually a 2-minute scene is good, so we get about, you know, a 6 to 8 minute radio drama. Some of them get a little industrious and want to do more, and that's great. And then I take those scripts after they've been edited and the whole bit, and I take them to Mr. Frost, and he puts them in front of his drama class, and they perform them and record them, and then we take them to a communications technology class, and they edit them together. And then we take them back to the English class and say, yeah, this is how it sounds. And there are times when, you know, the nature of the production, maybe you had to change a character because you didn't have the actor that would fit that particular character. Maybe you had to drop a line here or change a line that didn't sound right. And the people who did the original writing, they can go, well, wow, that was awesome, but whatever happened to this? And you say, you know, that's the nature of the business. You know, once a director gets your work, there's liable, you know, they're liable to change things around. So they get a real feel of how this kind of works out.
And it's a real, they're sort of dropped into the process, because I find a lot with when I work with student playwrights is that there's not that opportunity to take it to the next level. They write the scripts and then when they get to the end, they think it's done. And it's like, no. You know, there's workshopping and then putting it on its feet and making it live and then putting it in front of an audience. And what an opportunity for your students to actually go through the entire process from the writing to the performing and then hearing it, not just live, but recorded so that they get the whole shebang.
Exactly. And that's one of the biggest problems is this so fire and forget thing, right? Where, you know, the kids finish the thing and they say they're done. But when they get a chance to actually go back and listen to it after it's been completely produced together, one of the things they say is like, oh, I wish I could have taken another pass at it because I think I could have done this differently now. So suddenly they're bought into it far more because it's not just something that's, you know, written on the page and handed off. It's something that comes back to them that's a live thing.
What else do you think your students learn from audio drama specifically?
I think one of the huge things that people are really appreciating when they get into audio drama is the aspect of dialogue. And dialogue is one of the biggest problems for a lot of writers to be able to get a handle on. Some people do an awful lot of cheating in novels because they're really good at writing the fiction aspect, but the dialogue doesn't come as real. You know, you get people like Elmer Leonard who can just do it like just resonates well. So if you can practice getting dialogue down pat and boiling it down and boiling it down, it's really powerful. But I mean, it's also fantastic because it allows people to sort of sit there and say, okay, if you have too much going on in this audio drama, you will lose people. So how can you tell this story in a way by telling it through sound with maybe at the most 6 characters?
Mm-hmm.
That are different and unique and engaging and will keep people listening.
It really is. It's one of the hardest things to sort of, because you can't tell them, you can't say to anyone, to any writer, not even just a teenager, you can't say to a writer, well, this is what's going to happen when this gets in front of an audience. You have to actually put it in front of an audience sometimes and have that happen. So it just, how great that they're able to, well, it's the only way to learn, I think.
You want to hear another really neat story.
So of course.
After we've been doing some of this for a while and I've been sort of getting Grant Frost really excited about this, he said to me, well, you know, we have the Drama Fest here in Halifax where all the different high schools come together at the University at Dal, and the students come together and they bring something that they want to do. Well, Grant said, I think I want to get my group doing audio drama. And I'm like, but I want them to do it on stage, which, by the way, I'm actually doing a radio play on stage for Christmas with another group called Lion's Den Theater. We're doing It's a Wonderful Life during the Christmas season. So if you're in Halifax area and Dartmouth area, come and see us on the 12th, 13th, 14th, and 15th. But anyway, so last year we went to Drama Fest and I was a little nervous because I was wondering, well, how are all these high school students going to handle people just standing on a stage and doing this performance without the, you know, all the actions and everything like that? Because live radio drama has always been a thing that people have enjoyed. Well, what Grant did was he got them to write their own script because that was a requirement. And then they closed the curtains and shut off everything.
No, did they shut off the lights?
They shut off all the lights.
Oh, man.
Did it completely in the darkness. And at the end, opened the curtains and turned on the lights so people could see who was doing the roles. And they got a standing ovation. People were so amazed and so fantastically thrilled about this. Everybody stood up in the house and gave them a standing ovation. And the actors were taken aside. They had no idea they were going to get that kind of reaction.
Well, of course, because it's never been, like, you don't, it's not done, right?
Exactly.
You just expect, okay, this is my theater experience. My theater experience is like, oh, and I sit in a seat and then the lights are going to come up on the stage. And it's like, oh, I'm plunged in darkness. Oh, this is happening like all around me. What an insane, wonderful thing for your drama teacher to do. Oh my God, that is just fantastic.
And you know, it was funny because it's a weekend thing, Drama Fest. And for the rest of the weekend, I could hear people in the hallways going, you know, who played this part? Who played? Because even though they saw the people afterwards, they were still trying to figure out which voice went where, which was very cool.
Yeah, because they had an image in their head. So they're trying
Absolutely.
To see if the image in their head fit the person who said the lines.
Absolutely.
Oh, what a great thing to share with our other drama teachers here. Okay, so which leads me to a great question. Okay, so what advice would you give to other teachers out there who, if they're like me and got really excited by that last story, and they might want to try audio drama in their classroom?
Well, there's a number of different routes. You can go to the Sonic Society, sonicsociety.org. Download the shows. Every week we have a new show. Right now I've been so far behind with stuff, I've been pumping in new shows every 2 weeks. Twice a week, I should say. You can go listen to other people like Dakota Ring Theater is fantastic out of Ontario. Guy's been doing it 9 years. Fantastic old-time radio feel. You can go to Crazy Dog Audio. There's a little audio there that's called How to Write Audio Drama. And it's a funny little audio drama, 9-minute audio drama, telling you specifically how to do it. go download Celtics. I set up the audio drama directory with some of my fans, and then you can find a whole bunch of stuff there. I also set up the rating system, so it's like a movie rating system. You'll find that there as well. There's audiodramatalk.com, which is forum for audio drama people from around the world who like to put this stuff together. Again, some of our fans put it up after my co-host and I were complaining that there wasn't one place to do all this. So we're putting the tools together to do this. And I want to tell you about something that I've been really wanting to do for years now. I would love to be able to, and I'm happy if there's other teachers out there that want to help put this together with me and make it a reality. I would love to be able to do what they've done with improv with the audio drama games. And I would love to be able to do a live stage thing where, and I have ideas of what the events would be, but it would be a perfect little beginning for anybody at the beginning of the year when you're trying to get your drama students to get started early. Have them start working with voice, with audio drama. They don't have to worry about anything else. They can bring their own character on the stage, but really they're working specifically with voice. And if we had an early audio drama games that was going just sort of locally in your area and high schools came up and you got CBC, a radio personalities there as judges or whatever. We could have, you know, clips of old time radio that they did and try to reenact. They could have original sketches that they do. And then part of it also is being able to bring onto the stage your own sound effects. So not having digital sound effects, but having live sound effects that work exactly at the right time, that becomes a character and a flashpoint for people to watch at the same time.
That sounds really exciting. It sounds like it's a wonderful idea. And so, all right, it's out there and we'll see. I hope that something like that happens. And so let's end on, I like this notion of live sound effects. So what are your two or three of your favorite ways to make a live sound effect? Like, you know, the rain stick or the rain stick and the thunder sheet or the two that come to my mind, but you must have like a couple of tricks up your sleeve for some interesting sound effects.
Well, that's the thing is I don't do enough stage stuff, and I want, there's really good websites out there to make a sound box where you can do a ton of different things. I was very lucky and grateful to
be in. Oh, what's a sound box?
A sound box is sort of like almost like a homemade box where you can do everything. It'll have like three or four hinge doors. It'll have like a little sandbox where you can put shoes in to make it sound like you're walking through sand. It'll have the sound effect to make it sound like you're firing a gun by hitting a hammer against the right kind of metal. You'll have all those kinds of elements. Even you can hook up a little bell to have a telephone sound, because all those things are really important. I know that even in It's a Wonderful Life, we're using just simple sort of cans to be able to speak into to give that kind of resonation that somebody's on the phone line. So, you know, just giving that little deeper sort of, you know, sound here. I actually use something like that for Alone in the Night that I'm releasing tonight, because one of the main characters is in a spacesuit. So you got to have that helmet sound that, you know, his voice is muffled somewhat.
I like that idea of a sound box where it's just sort of everything is at your fingertips and it's all made live as opposed to, you know, pushing a button, you know?
What? Yeah, absolutely. Go to YouTube and check out Chatterbox Theater. They do most of their shows live, and they have filmed some interesting little clips about how they do it and what they do it. If you want, as a drama teacher, to go check up Chatterbox, there's like a little news item about 5 minutes, them showing a variety of different shows, how they record it, how they do the live music, how they do all that kind of stuff. It's really it's such an engaging art form. And it's such a revitalized art form that really never quite died. And despite the fact that it was pretty hobbled when television came along,
and they keep saying things are dying. They keep saying theater's dying. They keep saying, you know what? Nothing is going to die as long as there's like, you know, folks like you and folks like me and then there will be somebody else who will come along and
absolutely
and be just as enamored and passionate. And that's the wonderful thing I think that makes the arts is that. As long as somebody feels for it, then you can't kill it. So,
well, it's funny because in audio drama talk, you know, you'll always get a new person's really excited. They're like, yeah, I'm here to bring back radio drama. And there's like 100 of us sitting there going, okay, here comes another one, right? You know, because we've been doing it for so long and people before us have been holding the torch and it'll all keep going forever.
I think so. Well, excellent. Well, thank you so much for coming on today and sharing a little bit about this world. I think it's something that it adapts so well to the classroom. And I hope that everyone out there got a good listen. And just so you know, there's so many resources on this talk today. They're all going to be in the show notes and there'll be a transcript so that you will be able to go and have a look and have a listen to everything that Jack talked about today. And just give your site one more shout out. It's sonicsociety.org, correct?
That's right. The Sonic Society.
Perfect. Awesome. Thank you so much, Jack.
Thank you so much, Lindsay. Have a great day.
Awesome.
Thank you, Jack. Lots of links in this episode, so make sure you go to the show notes at theaterfolk.com/episode95. Before we go, let's do some Theater Folk news. Okay, your students are bugging you to put on a talent show. You want something with a little more structure. Or you're doing a play and your students are begging you to let them put in their own scene. And as much as you're happy that they're inspired, you know that you can't do that. You know that, right? You know you can't put your own words in someone else's script willy-nilly. You know you can't change the words in the play. I know you know. I know. Well, I have the play that is going to solve both those problems, both scenarios, one fell swoop. We Open Tomorrow Night by Michael Worley is a scripted talent show. So that means there is a frame for the play. It's an actual play with characters. And there are built-in places into the script for you to put in your own talent acts. And better yet, there is a full-length version. You know what? If you were considering doing a dinner theater, I think this would be a perfect show for that. And we also have a competition one-act version. So that's right. Two versions to meet all your talent show student writer needs, whims, wants, loves. Okay, so check out We Open Tomorrow Night. Go to the show notes, click the link, read the sample pages, buy it now. Finally, where oh where can you find this wonderful podcast? We post new episodes every Wednesday at theaterfolk.com and on our Facebook page and Twitter. You can find us on youtube.com/theaterfolk. You can find us on the Stitcher app, and you can subscribe to TFP on iTunes. All you have to do is search on the word Theaterfolk. And that's where we're going to end. Take care, my friends. Take care.